Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship. It is a pleasure to welcome those who are here present in our building this morning and all those who join us on the live stream, either this morning or at some time in the future. The blessings of modern day ministry is one never knows when the sermon will be heard, but we're pleased that you have been able to join us in worship this morning. We come back after I've been away for a month, so any mistakes that are made today is simply because I'm rusty. I haven't led worship in a whole month, and sometimes things will go awry, but we'll do our best. And of course, this has been a very, very strange year where we're already a week into September and we haven't had Labor Day yet. So that really throws people's equilibrium off, but we're pleased that you're here this morning. One of the things that odd timing means is session is going to meet on Tuesday. Surprise session, it's not a week hence, it's Tuesday, because Tuesday is the second Tuesday of the month. So session will meet at 7 o'clock. I have been over the summer reminding elders to pick up their binder, which is on equipping elders, which we're going to be moving through this fall. If you haven't received one yet, I know they were in the McClellan room. They probably got shifted inside to Fred's old office, but please grab one of those as you exit the building this morning. I'll try to find them and carry them downstairs for Tuesday if you forget. Over the past week, we've been inundated in our media with images from Nepal of the devastating floods that have been happening there. And Presbyterian World Service and Development, the agency of our denomination that deals with disaster relief, is collecting funds in support of Nepal. So if over the next couple of weeks you feel moved to make a contribution toward that important work of rebuilding that very small nation, you are invited to make a contribution through your regular avenues of giving. If you're using an envelope, either one of the ones, your weekly offering envelope, or one of the ones in the pews, simply write in that other line, Presbyterian World Service or Nepal, and if we see that over the next several weeks, we will be designating that to the Nepal Relief. Sympathies of the congregation go out to the Berry family on the death of Betty Berry earlier this week. Funeral services for Betty have been planned for Friday, August the 18th. At 11 a.m. at the Wilson Funeral Home. There will be a visitation immediately prior to the service, again, at the funeral home beginning at 9:30. And additionally, sympathies of the congregation are extended to Mark and Corey Burgon and their family on the death of Mark's father. Please remember all of these folks in your prayers over the coming week. One of the things that happened and don't forget, coffee and cookies at the back of the church after worship. Come, enjoy a time of fellowship, and see the roof that's there and the progress that has been made to date in fundraising for the roof campaign for the replacement of the roof on Caldwell Hall. One of the things that happened while I was away is we wrote a couple of new jokes. Of course, one joke we didn't write, we knew it already. How many ministers does it take to light the Christ candle on a Sunday morning? It takes one. How many other people does it take to light the Christ candle on a Sunday morning? Well, at least one Sunday. It took about four as I counted them on the live stream. But this morning, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we who are his people seek to walk in his path. Let us open our worship this morning with the call to worship. As is our custom, this is a responsive call, and I invite you to stand as we come into the presence of our Lord. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord.
Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart.
How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to God's word and seeking God with our whole heart. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, you come to us with words of wisdom and of promise. Teach us to know the gifts of our great high priest and lead us to love what is nourishing for all of life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And as we enter into worship this day, we join our voices in praise as we sing hymn 291, Thou Whose Almighty Word, hymn 291, or as the words will appear before you on the screen. Scripture teaches us that it is only by the power of God that we are able to stand against evil. Trusting in God's grace, let us come this morning confessing our sin as we say together the prayer as it appears before you on the screens. Eternal God, we confess that we have failed to seek your will. You call for faithfulness and love. We respond with half-hearted praise. You call for righteousness and peace. We respond with empty promises. Forgive us, God of grace. Teach us how to worship you with the sacrifice you desire, loving you and loving one another through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, let us now stand firm in the faith, covered by the saving grace of God and ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have been forgiven. Thanks be to God. And as God, through Christ, has forgiven us, we are invited and encouraged to be forgiving one of another. Let us now turn to those around us and share with them a sign of the peace of Christ. And may the peace of Christ be with you all. The hymn is 338, Let All Things Now Living.
Oh,
And do I have some young people? I do. Would you guys like to come forward this morning? Come on. I won't bite. Come on over and have a seat. Good morning. How are you doing this morning? I got an important question for you this morning. Did you start school yet? You did? Started on, I'm trying to remember. Wednesday. So I remember driving by some schools on Wednesday or someday this week, and everybody was all lined up neatly waiting to go in. So how was it? Is it all good? Okay. When we get ready for school again and getting back into the routines of having to get up every morning and do things, there's things we have to do that are kind of special or important, aren't there? What did you do to prepare to get ready for school this year? We brush our teeth, we wash our face, make sure we're all shiny and ready to go in the morning. That's a good idea. What about the night before? Maybe start going to bed a little bit earlier, getting a little bit more rest. Maybe before you went back to school, you found your notebook from last year and kind of flipped through the pages to make sure that everything you learned last year you still remembered. Did you do that? No? Sometimes we do that. My daughter, who's older, was doing that. She spent the last week going over all of her notes and making sure that when she got back into class, she would be ready to start and all the information would be fresh in her mind. This morning, as we gather in worship, I picked a special passage of text for us to look at this morning, a reading from Psalm 119, and it talks about the important lessons that we learn. It's kind of those foundational things, like making sure that we're well rested and that we're prepared for each day. It speaks about how we are to be followers of Jesus and to remind ourselves each day of how we are to walk in his ways. So as you're listening this morning during the sermon time, you can listen for that, for those themes, both young people and old people alike. Sorry. Younger people and more mature people. Because nobody here is old. But we'll prepare to listen for those things, and as we prepare to go for our return to our school classes, either those who have gone in the past week or those who are preparing for the future and going back to school this week, we look forward to those opportunities to be God's people in the world. Maybe we'll end our time this morning with a brief prayer. I'll say a line, and I'll invite you to repeat it, and then we'll move through the prayer in that way. So let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for another year of school and another opportunity to learn of the world that you have made. We thank you for the opportunity to return in worship. And to learn how to be your faithful people. Each day. And everywhere we go. Amen. Thank you for coming up this morning. Great to see you guys again. Missed you for the whole month when I wasn't here. And I'll let you go back and you can sit with your mom this morning. And once more, let us join our hearts and minds in prayer. Let us pray. Through your word, O God, let your Holy Spirit open our insight, remove our ignorance, kindle our zeal, and bind us to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Old Testament reading this morning is from Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 1 to 9, found on page 166 of the Old Testament. These are kind of the last words that Moses was involved with in Deuteronomy as the Israelites are about to go into their land of milk and honey. Now, this is the commandment, the statutes and the ordinances that the Lord your God charged me to teach you to observe in the land that you are about to cross into and occupy, so that you and your children and your children's children may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life and keep all his decrees and his commandments that I am commanding you, so that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe them diligently, so that it might go well with you, and so that you may multiply greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, and when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorposts of your house and of your gates. The New Testament reading is Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 34, found on page 46 of the New Testament. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.' The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Then the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is the one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding, with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all those burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one dared ask him any question. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Once more, we turn in praise as we sing hymn 297, "O Love That Casts Out Fear." Before we sing this hymn, I think they changed the tune in the new book. So be careful. It's going to trip you up, because the first bar of music sounds exactly like the tune that you think it's going to sound like. The second does not, and the third even less. So as you're taking a moment to find 297 in your book, or the words will appear before you on the screen, Olivia is going to play through the tune in its entirety so that we are familiar with it. Our hymn 297, "O Love That Casts Out Fear."
Thank you.
And our Old Testament reading for this morning is taken from Psalm 119, reading verses 1 to 16. Let us listen for God's word to his people. Happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Happy are those who keep his decrees, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all of your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous ordinances. I will observe your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. How can young people keep their way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Do not let me stray from your commands. I treasure your word in my heart, so that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I declare all the ordinances Let's try that verse again. With my lips I declare all the ordinances of your mouth. I delight in the way of your decrees as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your statutes. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Brothers and sisters in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we mentioned to the young people just a moment ago, once again this week, students and teachers will return to their classrooms as another year of school begins. And even though it may be some time since you felt that excitement of the first day of school, the return to classes, the reacquainting ourselves with our friends, for many of us, we also miss that anticipation that another year brings. The idea that there are new discoveries to be made and new lessons to be learned, and in between recess and lunch breaks and renewed friendships. Of course, the lessons that we learn and remember the most are those that were taught to us in our youth and had a pattern or a rhyme, right? We remember those things. Perhaps you remember I before E, except after you pass. 30 days hath September, April, June, and November. All the rest have 31, but for February alone, whose days are numbered 28, and on the leap year, 29. Or, this is for you, Olivia, every good boy deserves fudge. Right? Those things that we learned back in school using mnemonics that have just woven themselves into our very being. When was the last time you heard a teacher say, I before E, except after C? And yet, how often do we come across it and say that still in our mind as we're sitting writing out something and trying to remember how to spell receive? This past week, one of the mnemonics for learning that has been in the news a great deal, the mnemonic that we learned for the learning of the names of the Great Lakes of Canada. Huron, Ontario, Michigan, Erie, and Superior, right? The first letters of each of the names of the lakes. This morning's sermon text, taken from the opening verses of Psalm 119, likewise begins with an epic mnemonic device to tell us about the law of the Lord. Psalm 119, well, it gets a bit of a bad rap. I'm going to start there. Scholars and theologian, none lesser than the likes of John Calvin, have thrown shade at Psalm 119. And maybe it makes sense if you think about it. Psalm 119 is the longest of the Psalms of the Hebrew canon. It stands at 176 verses in length. It stands out. Flipping through the book of Psalms, you know, you can flip a page and there might be three or four Psalms just in one page of your Bible. Flip again and you'll have another two or three, and again and you'll have another two, and again and again and again. And then you hit Psalm 119. And it just goes on and on and on. But it stands in this book of short little poems and hymns, intercedings from our deepest human needs. This marathon piece of writing seems oddly out of place, especially when you consider that it is separated from Psalm 117 by only one psalm. Psalm 117 is the shortest psalm in the Psalter. It's two verses long. Maybe the psalmist felt he had to make up for two verses with Psalm 119. I don't know. But there is this real contrast, certainly, between those two psalms, between 119 and most of the other psalms. But there's more than that. With 176 verses extolling the wonder of the law of the Lord, many scholars have charged that Psalm 119 is, well, repetitive. And perhaps just slightly tedious in its presentation. Of the psalm, Calvin himself wrote, "As this psalm treats of various matters, it is difficult to give an epitome of its contents. In short, he frequently passes from one topic to another and prosecutes no one particular subject continuously." In other words, at first blush, Psalm 119 seems to be a bit of a shopping list. A shopping list of ideas that have been thrown together and they aren't really very well developed. Causes certain consternation on my part this week. As we come back from my summer away and our summers of kind of distraction and different patterns of worship, and we get back into this year of dwelling with the Psalms, there was a moment when I thought, okay, I think I'm good for about 5 weeks, because I'll just preach through Psalm 119. We'll do 16 verses today. We'll do 16 or so verses next week, and the week after that, and I'm going to be good for. Except, Psalm 119 keeps coming back to the same ideas over and over again, not really well developed, so I've decided we're not going to do that after all. Or maybe we will. I don't know. See, Psalm 119 has its problems, but it also has its strengths. If you look at the structure of Psalm 119, Psalm 119 starts to take on a completely different meaning. Psalm 119 is one of the greatest examples of the use of a mnemonic device in the book of Psalms. Psalm 119 is one of the acrostic psalms. Like several other psalms in the Psalter, Psalm 119 moves through the Hebrew alphabet letter by letter as the psalmist seeks to extol the wonders of God's law. Anybody remember those needle points or cushion covers from, about 40 years ago? Mother, Emma's for the many things she gave me. And it goes down and spells mother. The same sort of thing, an acrostic. It moves through, in that case, it moves through the letters of a word. Psalm 119 and several other psalms move through the entire alphabet. A, B, C. And each section, in the case of Psalm 119, begins with the next in the sequence of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. But more than that, if you look carefully at Psalm 119 as you're flipping through it to get to Psalm 120 in your book, you'll notice that each page almost looks exactly the same. Because Psalm 119 is organized in this series of sections that begin with each successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. But then, inside that section, the psalmist takes 8 verses each time, each section, 8 verses to amplify his thought before he moves on to the next. And so it has this sense of being the same again and again and again. Unlike so many mnemonic devices, Psalm 119 is too long for us to claim that it is easily memorized. But its structure moves us with certainty along its course. For a Hebrew, reading in Hebrew, he would sense that pattern that unfortunately we lose in translation. But this reading moves along through the alphabet, and it reminds us that there is nothing left to be explored when he gets to the end. We have arrived at Z, and that is the end, to bring it into our context. And as I sat with Psalm 119 this week, I thought perhaps that is the gift of Psalm 119. While some of the Psalms have been written by the greatest poets of Scripture, and they have recorded in intricate detail the wonders of God with broad and brilliant brushstrokes, the author of Psalm 119, rather than dazzling us with his words, secures us with its composition. It is bedrock solid. And it is complete. But we should not be too quick to write off its composition either, I think. Surely Psalm 119 sounds familiar to us, readers of Scripture, to other things that we've read in Scripture. For my Bible study people, echoes of other readings, right? It begins with that very first verse. Psalm 119 begins, "Happy are those whose way is blameless." And it echoes very closely the very beginning of the book of Psalms in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, and prefigures the Beatitudes from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. All of those we hear, and as the author of Psalm 119 comes back to that refrain. Happy are those. Happy is the one. And from that lofty perspective, the psalm goes on then to ask the question, how can young people keep their way pure? By guarding it according to your word, with my whole heart I seek you. Do not let me stray from your commandments. It reminds us that there is benefit to following God's will our whole life long. That as we recommit ourselves to God's way each day, we embark on a journey that will protect us from following the ways of sin and place the praise of God in our mouths each and every day. In this way, perhaps then there is no greater lesson to be learned by the child of faith, be they 6 or 60 or 86, than that which is repeated in Psalm 199, again and again and again. And perhaps that is its blessing. In its continual rephrasing of the blessings found for those who follow the will of God, that there is an articulation of faith in this one psalm that will speak to you. Psalm 119 provides the reader with the opportunity to try on the clothing of faith in all of its colors, in all of its hues, styles, and cuts until we finally find the one that fits us best. Perhaps all 186 verses of Psalm 119 will not speak to you. About halfway through, you'll probably forget what you just read previously. But somewhere in there, there will be 8 verses that will encapsulate for you the wonders of the love of God. So I'm going to give you homework, seeing as this is a sermon about going back to school. I will give you homework. I'm not going to mark it, so if you don't do it, I won't know. But perhaps your homework for the next week, and if you redo this for the next week, I promise I will not preach Psalm 119 for the next 5 weeks. Deal? For the next week, sit down each day and read through Psalm 119. Don't do it all at one sitting. That's 176 verses that you will too soon forget in one sitting. But start at the beginning, read to the end, 8 verses at a time. Because each 8 verses is one of those sections. And listen for the one that speaks to you the most. Not all will. Some will be like the dew on the early morning grass. You'll read through it, and it will be gone. But some will speak to your heart and remember those verses. Put a little arrow beside them in your Bible. It's okay to take a pen and make a little arrow in your Bible from time to time. Put a little arrow next to the one that speaks the most to you. And then put a bookmark in there that you may return to it and meditate on it day and night, that you too may learn how to walk in the ways of the Lord. For that is what the psalm wants you to do. Thanks be to God for the gift of Scripture to us and for this opportunity to learn God's will and God's law. Our affirmation of faith for this morning is drawn from from the Living Faith document. It's a modern confession of faith produced by the Presbyterian Church in Canada a number of years ago. And this morning we read of that from that section, section 6.1, on the topic of faith. This is a responsive reading and will appear before you. Faith is a gift of God, constantly renewed in word and sacrament and in the shared life of God's people. Faith includes assent to the truth of the gospel.
Faith may come suddenly or only after a struggle to believe. Whatever the spiritual journey we have brought up, God honors our faith, great or small.
Faith is a response to God's presence in the midst of life. It says yes to the God who is there. As Christ has given himself for us, let us in turn give ourselves for the sake of others. Let us now present our tithes and our offerings to the Lord. Let us pray. Bless these gifts, O Lord, from your unfailing care for your people. Let them be a sign of our gladness for all that we have and all that we may offer to others. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, our companion and our guide, you ask us to give our whole selves to you. But we live in a world that seeks to lay its own claim upon our lives. As we seek to grow in faithfulness to you, amidst all that demands our attention and affection, teach us what it means to be centered in your love. We pray this day for your church and for people of faith who call upon God by other names, that where there is need and division, may your Spirit bring understanding and reconciliation. We pray for nations and their leaders, for legislators at every level of government, for peacekeepers and peacemakers, for voters and for people who work toward democracy, for those who fight against change, and for those who fight for changes in the name of justice. Help them and help us all to build a better world where there is a fair sharing of our world's resources and where the dignity of all people is honored. And on this day, we pray for all students and teachers that they may look forward to another year of learning. Bless our young people with a curiosity for the world around them and wonder for its intricacies, and give to teachers a sharing of that wonder as they open the eyes of their learners to the pattern and beauty hidden in each poem and each mathematical equation. God of compassion, walk with all who suffer this day. For the ill and those awaiting treatment, for the hungry and those who worry about the practical things of this life, for those who mourn, and for those who are facing the hour of their death. In all these moments, may they know that they are not alone, but that you walk with them in their uncertainty and will strengthen them in their fear. Especially today, we pray for the people of Nepal as they face the devastation caused by floods. Move the nations of this world to reach out with assistance and aid to rebuild this fragile nation at the top of the world. We thank you for those who have taught us the faith, and we ask you to hear our pleas and our words of gratitude. Keep us in your care and bring us to the feast that has no end. Until then, unite all our petitions into one, as we pray in the manner that Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing praise is number 472 in the Book of Praise. We are God's people, the chosen of the Lord. Hymn 472. Now as you go from this place, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Bind to yourself as close as to your own bodies God's command to love your neighbor as yourself. And may the blessings of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest and abide with you all this day and forevermore. Amen.